Welcome to the Value Coffee Talk podcast.
This podcast is a service of the Enterprise Value Collective, a community for business value focused leaders and practitioners, and is sponsored by our value consultancy, Genius Drive.
And our mission, that's to help you accelerate and optimize value articulation in each of your value engagements, and importantly, throughout the whole customer lifecycle. To help us understand some best practices in that, we've invited Clayton Slagle. Welcome, Clayton.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Joining.
Clayton is Vice President of Business Value Consulting for the service management firm Baxter Planning. 30 years Baxter has been in business, from what Clayton says, and love to learn more about Baxter. And he's also a value veteran with a lot of companies. When I met Clayton, I think you were at PTC, but also experience at Logility, Synchron. So when it comes to service management ROI, I think you're the expert out there, Clayton. All right, tell us about your current value consulting practice, Clayton, at Baxter.
So at Baxter Planning, the chief revenue officer has brought in a team of very seasoned professionals. And depending on who you're talking to, it's either the solution center or the thought leadership team or whatever. But everybody in there has been in some form of supply chain management probably for the last 25 to 30 years. So very, very seasoned, and puts us out as a resource for sales, for product development, for whoever needs to put a different take on their message.
April, I think you're up.
Okay, sorry. It was frozen for a while.
I know, so I'm having trouble too. So
I wasn't sure if he was continuing to talk or not. Yeah. So here we go. So you've been there for a little bit over a year now in this new role. What have you implemented that you're most proud of?
We've changed really our entire sales methodology. We, instead of just doing the business case kind of at the end of the sales cycle when it's a box we need to tick, our value engagement methodology now, actually, we work with business development in the development and qualification of opportunities. But when we move in the sales cycle, the value engagement methodology really just sort of runs the whole cycle at that point. Beginning with discovery, we set up and conduct workshops that enable us to gauge not only the financial matters, but also the political and the business matters that you need to understand in order to put a package together well. And developing that and getting that implemented, yeah, I have to say that's at the top of my list.
That's really impressive. And I think, you know, you had shared with us previously that actually the value consulting team is primary in the discovery process. Is that correct?
Yes. We set agendas and we work with the account execs, obviously. Mm-hmm. But we set agendas. We look at the timing of resources. We bring the right team together in order to do these workshops, whether we're doing them virtually or on site at the customer.
We find, Clayton, that discovery is so critical to successful value engagements. And so it's no surprise that you've taken that on. But we know that a lot of times sellers are reluctant to have someone else kind of driving the customer engagement and driving such an important step in the process as discovery. How did you overcome that apprehension maybe that the sellers might have? Was it a kind of a top-down executive thing? Did you earn their trust bottom-up? How did that work?
We do several things. And often it comes when somebody wants to see a demo. And we relate to them that Baxter has developed their portfolio, and we refer to it as the Baxter Predict platform, and that it would probably take a week to demo everything that's in that. And we use this discovery process to narrow the focus down to the aspects that are really going to be valuable to their particular organization. We also, we structure these workshops where only the people who are really pertinent to this are invited. So no one person other than our champion is invited to all 4 to 6 workshops that we schedule. So we really try to be considerate of every individual's time.
And one of the other things in there, Clayton, that you're mentioning is, you know, you mentioned 4 workshops, 6 workshops. That to a seller could also seem like a lot, right? I want to get to demo. I want to demonstrate our solution to the buyer. I want to pop together a proposal and I want to get this deal to the finish line. And now, Clayton, you're coming in with this value team and saying, wow, I got to do a workshop and I've got to put this all together. How did you now kind of justify to them that, hey, this is actually, we might go in a little bit slower, but we're actually going to come out a lot faster?
Right. The goals that we have, we are looking at the fact that the opportunities where we use our value engagement methodology are resulting in faster sales cycles. It doesn't happen as often, but quicker qualifying out when we're just not a match and we don't sink resources into a bad opportunity. And we increase deal size. So all those are the outcomes that we want to have. And we're gaining traction that the sales execs especially just know that that's going to be a byproduct.
On a similar coin of, you know, convincing the account executives, a lot of times it's a challenge to get the customers to participate in discovery. I really like what you said earlier about if we were to show you everything there is to know about the product, then it would take a week. And my immediate reaction is, I don't want to do that. So I think, you know, it is incentivizing to learn more about what they're looking for. But is there any secret sauce in getting the customers engaged?
We've generally had enough preliminary meetings with a champion that they realize that they're not equipped by themselves to take this through their organization to get the approvals that they need to do a project like this. And so they need the expertise in order to do that. And in our particular vertical, we have people who have been planners. I have experience as a CFO. I'm a CPA. And so when I put together the financials, they're designed for the CFO to look at and not make stupid mistakes that, you know, shows that you're really not prepared. So we bring that expertise to bear, and our champions at the customer tend to look at it as we're a troop of hired guns that he has to tackle this project and to get it approved.
Yeah. On the politics side, I think that a lot of times sellers have a hard time understanding those politics, and having an expert with executive ability like you have to be able to help identify that. When we do collection, there's 3 things we like to preach in discovery, and it's defined by the acronym MAP: motivation for change, alignment, particularly alignment and the outcomes in that alignment, and then the process that you have to go through, and the process includes the people that are in the decision making. What do you look for in terms of those politics? You go in and you try to kind of map out, here's all the players, here's the roles, here's the process that they're going to have to go through for the decision making?
Yes, we are big on asking for org charts. And in fact, in our initial slate of workshops that we're going to do, we schedule meetings with IT and ask not only, you know, what resources are required for a project like this, what does your calendar look like, what are the systems that we're going to want to integrate with. But we meet with the IT decision makers and gain that political understanding. You know, many times an ERP provider is very heavily entrenched, and they lean toward that because they've spent thousands of hours with them in a project, and there's a close relationship. So even if we don't need the IT information right away, it lends itself toward the political aspect of our sales strategy.
That's really interesting. So, you know, especially in, like you said, in the world of an ERP, it's entrenched in the organization. And so motivation for change is that much more important. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you find are the key motivators for change in that area?
Everybody's got financial targets that they need to meet. And we're at a point where most organizations have done what they can to optimize their solution using a generic approach, using the package that the ERP provides and those sorts of things. But it's always, you need to go one step further. And so we have that motivation. There are also a lot of corporate initiatives going now, especially with, sustainability and things like that. And we make the case that optimizing your service supply chain means you don't air freight things as much as you can put them on a train. You're not doing overtime. You're not increasing. And we quantify actually the impact in terms of CO2 emissions, and then we translate that into the marketplace of offsets to really monetize the advantages of being sustainable.
Yeah. And I know a lot of CFOs are looking for, cost savings. Profitability is under mm-hmm. threat now with cost inflation, things like that. Productivity improvement, I'm sure, is one of the bases. One of the areas, I'm sure, is supply chain risk and de-risking the supply yes. chain. How do you get into quantifying areas like risk?
We have a portion of the workshop where we talk about there's really three stages of operations. You have normal operations and you want to live there. Mm-hmm. And you have unplanned exceptions to that. And an example like that, we were working with a large network provider and talking about when the Olympics came to town. Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to be there. You know what level of service you need to provide. It stretches your network, but you can deal with it. And then we talked about the complications of providing network accessibility when the tsunami hit Japan. Mm-hmm. So you have unplanned irregular operations. And when you have your inventory under control and when you have a good supply chain structure in place, you're going to have things that happen, but you can move from unplanned to irregular and you'll get back to regular operations sooner and with less negative impact in your organization.
Well, that's a really unique perspective. What are some of the top priorities you have for growing your team or your program over the next year?
So right now, management at Baxter has decided against, creating a large value engagement team. So my focus for the next year is going to be on sales enablement, mm-hmm. and I want to teach various members to be able to cross train and handle the different areas for workshops and things like that. And then we're putting together a lot of collateral to help them talk through that as they come up the learning curve. So to summarize it, I think the sales enablement portion of my job is what's going to get the most time this year.
Yeah. And Clayton, it's a common story now, headcount budget is tight across many different organizations. And so value teams are under that headcount pressure, either to grow to meet the demand or even to, keep the headcount the same. We know that growth in the future won't be very headcount oriented, or at least that's one of our big predictions for 24 and 25. So mm-hmm. I think your ability and perhaps getting you back to show, tell us what you put in place and how successful it was. I think getting sellers to be more self-sufficient, to do maybe more of this process on their own, to stretch you a little bit and then maybe have the group, the smaller group engage on the bigger deals is important, but that workshopping is so effective. It's hard not to want that on every deal, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. So we are starting to put in, you know, hurdles, and we have various ways of evaluating opportunities, size and potential, mm-hmm. things like that. And we're already pushing back on some of those and just saying, I'm sorry, you know, let me help you do this, but we can't bring the whole team to do that right now. There are other areas. We use value to define our whole customer relationship, and we're in the process of taking a unified approach to value so that when our customer hears certain metrics or the way we talk about value in the sales process, the implementation team, the customer success team, the product development team is going to talk about value in that same way so that it's full circle. And actually, in the sales process, we're actually grooming our customers to be referenceable and talk in a way that makes it easy for other prospective customers to understand the value message from day one.
Yeah, that's a big part of our philosophy as well, is establishing that value message and then communicating it throughout the entire customer life cycle. And like you said, you know, if you communicate it effectively, then your customers can tell the same message. You had referenced something earlier about establishing the content base for your sales enablement. And we've found that, you know, content is incredibly important to mobilize the sales team to be able to have effective conversations with their customers. Can you talk more about what that content base looks like?
Well, that's still evolving, but I can talk a little bit about what we have now. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of PowerPoint and Excel. That's just where we are right now. And we're learning to build that in building blocks. And we teach the people how to assemble that deck or that spreadsheet, but tailor it to where it doesn't look like a cookie cutter deck for the customer. So mm-hmm. that's our approach on that. So I don't know how many 1, 2, 3 slide files that we have for different things such as that. Yeah. And then, for building a business case, we have an Excel file to do basic calculations, estimated value, and it brings everything together. It creates charts, and you know, so that's the quickest time to get value from that. I would like to take a more unified approach to that and develop something with a tool that can stand on its own and work with the sales team. But for right now, that's really what we're working on delivering.
Yeah. Clayton, at your phase, we definitely see it being, you know, getting the story right and enabling the storytelling being the most important, and automating the actual number crunching and the delivery actually less. So I think your focus is spot on, definitely right where we recommend it. What's the one piece of advice you'd like to leave our enterprise value collective with today, Clayton?
I think when you're talking about selling with value, you have to sell internally as well as externally. And the concepts are just the same. Senior leadership in your company, they have the challenge to sell and for more money in less time. And they're always under the gun for that. So you have to come to them and show a value program that meets their challenges, that calms their fears, that really makes you a trusted advisor within the company. In addition to taking that message to your customers. So I think the one piece of advice is don't take your standing for granted and be selling on both fronts.
Great advice, Clayton. Thank you so much for joining the Value Coffee Talk podcast.
Oh, it's been a pleasure to be here.
If you like what you heard, hit the like button, subscribe so you can stay up to date on the latest episodes. Please sign up for the Enterprise Value Collective, the EVC. If you haven't done so yet, you can do that on LinkedIn or on our geniusdrive.com website. That'll let you stay in touch with us on the latest events, tools, insights, research that we're publishing now, which we can't wait to get out. And until next time, our Enterprise Value Collective, keep sharing and growing together.